Ladies and gentlemen, we are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by.
Please stand by.
Please stand by.
There is no beauty, only ugliness. There is no glamour, only ghastly blemish. All romance disfigured. All morals monstrous.
How's it going? It's me, Andrew. It's 4 to 6 on a Sunday, which means it's time for another episode of Great Explosives. Episode number 1,465,721. Or thereabouts. Off by a million or so. Or so. Anyway, let's not focus on the amount of episodes I've done. Let's focus on what we're doing today, and it is a interview heavy show today, in that there are a lot of interviews that I am doing today on this show, and that pretty much covers what interview heavy means, you know? But I'm not here to bore you with definition of words. I'm here to fill you with words that I did. Most of them I did at Heavy Montreal, and of course you heard the ones that I did last week, and now you'll get to hear the remainder of the ones that I did this week, starting off with some Atreyu, and then, I'll inform you more as it goes on. But first, let me just inform you that the first one you'll hear is from, a band that's been, okay as time has gone on. I have to be honest that my opinion of Atreyu kind of fluctuates as time goes on. For things like The Curse, I was like, oh yes, this is very good. And then after that, they put out some questionable material. And then they jumped back in with Paper Anchors and Lead Sails or whatever it was, which I'm going to play Becoming the Bull off of later. So be ready for that. And now they're just putting out really stuff, but I still felt the need to do this interview. So here is an interview that I did with a member of Atreyu at Heavy Montreal a couple of weeks ago. So keep it locked. More interviews coming up. CJLO 1690 AM. This is Great Explosives. Hey everybody, this is Andrew. I'm here with a very special guest who is in a band which is larger caliber than I usually speak to. So I would feel wrong to do anything except let him intro himself and say what he does in the band Atreyu. So good sir, tell the people who he is and what you do.
My name is Alex Rokatsas and I sing in a band called Atreyu.
Cool.
Well, I figure that by the time bands get to me, they've already done a bunch of interviews. So what's one question that you're tired of answering or you don't feel like being asked? If I have it, I'll strike it. Won't have to answer it.
Anything about our name.
Anything about it. That's a very popular one.
Anything about our name.
It's good to see that that seems to flow across every band everywhere. Well, you've been... Atreyu has been around for quite a long time at this point, even not counting the hiatus.
That's what people keep telling me.
Did you think that it would go as long as it has? Like, when you guys were first starting it, did you think, like, man, we're going to be able to ride this for, you know, a good long while?
Yeah, I always think it's going to be over tomorrow, so I'm real happy when it's not. You know what I mean? To keep living your childhood dream like this far along in your life is a pretty rad thing, so I'm just keep on keeping going. I try not to think about the end.
Okay. Well, you guys have stylistically gone through a lot of different changes over the course of, you know, your career. I'm always interested in kind of the creative process behind that. When you guys, like, say, when you start to switch from one sound to another, does your writing process change, or is it just you guys have just changed what you're doing or what you're writing during that time?
We just write music. We write whatever comes out. There's no conscious effort. I think people look and see albums like as a lot of times it's hard to say. It's like it's just a snapshot in time. It's like for however long we took to write those records, those are the songs that came out. And people put too much thought into like, oh, this sound changed or this sound changed. Like, we're artists and our medium is music. And we're creating, conveying emotion through music. If every single song is the same, what are we doing? How is that artistic? To me, it's not artistic. To me, I could just go on a photocopier, right? I could take a nice piece of art that I already like one of, and I go to a photocopy. I just hit photocopy like 6 million of them. So for us, that's never been the game. Every Atreyu record is different, you know what I mean? And that's like the next one could be like black metal. The next one could be power metal. It could be pop. You know, probably won't be pop.
I mean, I imagine you don't really think of it much, but is there ever a time where you're writing something and you're hearing how it's going and you're just like, oh man, I don't know if people are... I think that we're going to get blasted on comments somewhere online for this.
I don't give a hell of a fuck. Like, we have songs like Terrified on the newest album, and then older songs like The Theft, and then songs like Wait For You. I think, like, you know, doing piano ballads and things like that, we're past that point in our career. You know what I mean? Someone giving a trade issue for, like, sounding pussy or doing this or that, like, is silly at this point.
Is it kind of disappointing, though, when people don't come along with you for that ride? Or is it just like, welcome, we're done with this?
I don't know. I mean, I couldn't care less. Like, there's so many bands and so much music out there, and there's so many humans that, like, if someone doesn't like your band, someone else will. And if a bunch of people just don't like it, then you should probably stop playing music. But hasn't really been the case for us. Like,
are there any songs that you guys have in your discography that at this point you're so disconnected from them because it's been so long since you've written them that you're like, we don't really like to play those anymore? Like,
no,
we just don't understand.
More, not based on time. Some of it's based on time, and then a lot of it's just based on like a feel, like Congregation of the Damned. Like, I could just delete that whole record from my life, and I almost wouldn't even care.
Really?
So it's just the way it goes. You know what I mean? Not like I'm not proud of it. It's like, it's art. You make art, you know. We've made however many full-length records we made. Of course we're going to have favorites and least favorites, you know what I'm saying? So for me, it's just more like that. It's like, you can learn from it. It's like, what didn't I like about that record? You know, I didn't like the writing process. I didn't like working with the dude, and I didn't like how I was treated by him and the A&R guy and that. I didn't like a bunch of things, and it permeated into how I feel about the record, you know? So I think it's cool now, you know. We just do what we want. It's not a bad scene.
Okay. You're at Heavy today. Recently, like within the past year, you played at St. Vitus, which is a super, like, kind of intimate, as they say,
yes,
venue. Which do you guys prefer? Like a larger kind of festival to get out there to reach more people? A smaller one to kind of connect with closer fans?
They both have like different like feelings attached to them. Like going out and playing a really big festival, when everybody's amped up, there really is no feeling. There's not a lot of feelings like that. But at the same time, you know, being in, like, to me, like a House of Blues type setting or a 1,000-cap room or something like that, I like those the most. I think small places are, while they're intimate is also another way of usually saying sheetish. So it's like we want to put on a great show and sound great. We've got all our stupid rock equipment that I don't understand what it does. And when, so when you play like small intimate shows, sometimes that shit all gets felt up, and it's like, you know, it's not the nature of music anymore. You got to be able to hear, you got to be able to do certain things. So I like a medium sized show.
All right.
And then every now and then, like, these big ones are bad. Like, I don't know, I've never done cocaine, but I've heard that like big shows would be like doing that, like just a big fat red coke. From what I've been told, I don't do drugs.
From what I've been told.
Yeah. No, seriously, though, if you know me, I don't come up with cocaine, but it's just like a lot of people do, and it sounds rock and roll to say, you know? Yeah. So it's like that. It's like, dude, I had like shots of greens this morning and some Narek and ginger. Real wild guy.
A whole line of ginger.
Oh, man.
Just ate it all
just,
up.
My digestive tract is beautiful, brother. My gut health is fantastic.
Or is there anyone you're looking forward to seeing during the festival? Do you guys even get to go out and like see anything during these festivals?
Honestly, I've seen probably like every band playing at some point. This is such like a big thing. Like, it's so far spread out. We're ending like a 5-week tour. We ended it yesterday. On Friday, we were in Sacramento. We drove like 700 or something miles through the whole state of California, almost to Mexico, played a show in San Diego. The next morning, we flew here. We basically fly all day. You get here at like 11:30 from Southern California. You know, we went to bed, we woke up. I hit the gym this morning super early, like feeling super jet lagged and weird. I'm just trying to like rock through this. So as far as like seeing other bands that I've seen before, it's like, dude, I got all my energy into the set. I'm gonna like, you know, crush these interviews and be a gentleman for the signing later, because I'm a human, man. I get tired and crabby just like anybody. And like, so, and by the time that signing is done, I'll be like, yo, point me to the van. I want to go back to my hotel and sleep for a couple hours. I fly out at like 6 a.m. tomorrow morning, so I gotta be there super early. So, you know, I keep it rocking, one thing to the next and the next. There's not a lot of time sometimes to watch bands, which sucks. I have more friends in crew than I do friends in bands that I'd like to catch up with. Huh. And that sucks because they're busy working and stuff, but it is what it is. Better than digging ditches.
I'm always curious about the actual industry of music, because it's changed so much over the past like 10, 15 years. What kind of have you seen as sort of the biggest change, apart from just the blanket statement of the internet?
Oh, man. I feel music itself has morphed and become much more electronic. Like, just as much as the internet has become the prevalent, like so many bands, because the music is all made digitally, basically. Yeah. There's no tape or reel anymore. And there's so much programming and electronic stuff in music. I don't think like you heard that like back in the day and like growing up. All the punk rock and hardcore emo bands I listened to, like maybe they had a synth, like Cradle of Filth had a synth and a little cheesy programming from time to time.
Yeah.
Soil Work and In Flames, a little synth here and there. But so I think that's real interesting to me. And then to see the permeation of other styles of music into scenes so rampantly, where like you can't really tell what style of music dude's playing. I'm not saying that's a bad or good thing, but you've got like techno, hip hop, metalcore, dubstep artists, and like that's cool. Like, it's cool to see people experimenting. You know, I think a lot of it's dogish, but every now and then, you get some really cool stuff, some really, really interesting stuff that comes up. And I think it's due to the, unfortunately, the internet, which has allowed people to freely exchange ideas faster. That's all it is, you know. I don't have to write a demo, send it to you, let you sit and listen to it, be like, all right, this is going to be my guitar part, and we'll write back and forth. If we don't live near each other, we can just send back and forth, and in the course of the day, we can get an album done, you know. It's crazy how things have changed. So,
you guys are on Spine Farm now.
Yes.
And also going along with the fact that, you know, the music industry has changed, labels kind of don't do what they used to do even back in the 90s, which was basically everything, right? What is kind of the, when Atreyu thinks of like an album, what does that, or a label, what does that label do for them?
To me, like, labels fund ideas and finances for albums, or marketing and ideas for albums.
Okay.
You know what I mean? They provide a budget to record, a marketing budget to promote, and then help push at radio and things like that, and then a staff of people to set up interviews or, you know, things like that in conjunction and things like that, you know?
Cool. So what's, you're done with this tour, you're going to go home. What's next for Atreyu for the rest of the year?
We're going to go to South Africa, play two shows in South Africa in September. End of September, then we go to Japan and we play some shows with Crossfaith and Amity Affliction.
Cool.
We're going to announce a fall headlining tour soon, which I guess I just announced, but I didn't announce the band, so we're going to announce.
We're aware, so.
Yeah, so there'll be a fall headlining tour in the USA coming up in the fall. And then, you know, we'll probably go back to Europe and stuff next year in March.
Cool.
Be on the prowl.